What is up, everybody? Welcome back. This is going to be episode 21 of the MGM Market Abilities podcast. Learn, develop, launch. That's what we're all about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're talking about speaking with confidence. Whenever you're, maybe you're pitching your business, maybe you're pitching an idea. You want to get investors. You want to,
I like that part.
Maybe just a new opportunity, right?
Yes.
How exciting is that?
Preach.
It's so exciting.
Ooh.
So good.
Okay. So I think my first question is, how do you speak confidently without coming off as like braggy?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like overconfident and like egotistical.
Right. Right. You almost need to downplay it a little bit. Like, well, we happen to make award-winning videos. Okay. Maybe leave that award-winning off, you know? I don't know. I think that the entrepreneurial spirit is such now that people almost expect you to say, well, here's what I'm working on, you know, or here's my side gig, or here's what I'm trying to start. It seems like more and more people are doing that now. And I think that people find that intriguing, exciting, and they always ask the question, how can I do that? So, you know, in our business, we're notorious for maybe not even speaking as much as just showing people what we do.
That's what I was going to say. I really don't want to have to feel like I have to talk to somebody, because the purpose of my job is to communicate through design. So, but yeah, no, that's like my favorite part. I prefer just to show people, honestly, I prefer showing them passion projects over like the run of the mill. Cause usually what we do is pretty corporate sometimes, and it can be like, oh my gosh, that looks so easy. But if you show something a little bit more impressive, and it's like, oh, wow, they have no problem doing this. Like, they're going to feel a bit more trust. That's why I prefer showing passion projects over, like, the run-of-the-mill stuff that people always request.
Sure, but I also think it's good to show some of the corporate stuff, depending on who you're pitching to, right?
Yeah.
It's always dependent. Because I think some people, you know, Angie and I have had this conversation a few times, and she's gotten on to me about it, about being consistent, right? And so if you have a consistent image of, like, you know, of like, this is how these videos are done, and this is why they've done so well, and you've consistently done that, you know, and I think we do that with a few of our bigger clients.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's a little easier because, well, I mean, for like a lot of what we do, we have like a very visual medium, you know, so it's easy to show somebody that, but I mean, like you do mostly audio, you know, there's another like component to that. But I also feel like whenever you're talking to somebody, as far as like not coming off as like, oh, I'm like the biggest, like I'm the big shot. You know what I mean? Like it's just not having as much of an ego. I think you could tell someone you're good at what you do while still being humble about it. I mean, you don't have to be like, I am the best out of every single person.
Then why are you doing that every day when you walk into work, Shane? I mean, he stands at the door and he goes, I am the best.
Yes.
It's so weird.
It's called subconscious reprogramming.
Oh, okay. Is that, okay.
Yeah. It's reprogramming myself. I mean, cause like I'm a little bit newer to, I think, this industry, you know, than you guys are. But I find that, like, a lot of the time it's just being able to, in my case, a lot of people don't even know that's what I do.
Yeah.
Right.
So just, like, saying, like, yeah, this is what I do, and I do it well. Right. I do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't think that comes off as being proud. It's just verifying, like, yeah, I do think I'm good at what I do. I don't think that necessarily has to come off as selling. It doesn't necessarily have to come off as, like, even just in small talk, just being able to drop in and just be like, yeah, this is what I do, and I'm good at it.
That's I think for me, it's the difference between coming off as like, I'm trying to convince you to do this, and instead you're coming off as like, I'm an authority in this, this like business or in this, you know, work. You like come off as like, I'm a professional, I can handle this, rather than like, hey, please give me your business. You know, like, I am good, I promise. You know what I'm saying?
Talk like softly, carry a big stick.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like that fine line in between those two, which I think is a big deal.
I would say that you would hope that your work precedes you if you've been doing it long enough. And you mentioned, Shane, that you've just transitioned into this industry full time. But, you know, I've been in the business of making content for, you know, 35 years now. And whether it was telling a story or now through commercial content, photos, video, you hope that when you walk in or when someone sees something play on television, that they will say, you know, that is growing media. That's obviously a growing media spot. Because at that point, then you can begin to listen more And people will tell you what they need or they may be lacking in their lives. And whether you're a dentist or you have a grocery store or, you know, you're selling shoes or deodorant or whatever, I mean, don't walk up to your buddy and go, "So anyway, I've developed this product that will help you smell a little bit better." You know, you don't want to do that. I mean, depending on how close you are to them, right?
Yeah. And I think we've had actually conversations like that. How do you talk to somebody about their content not being good? And we've seen that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, when you want to be critical of someone's business, I guess. And
I've honestly thought of, like, you don't want to go up to him and be like, "Hey, I'm a videographer. Like, let me redo your stuff." Like, let them come into it like, "Hey, is there anything like that you're not happy with?" Let them be the one to give you the cues. And be like, "Well, I do that as well. And I do it in a different way that might be more beneficial." Because one, like, we're in a quite small area, so we like kind of have to play nice with everybody. You don't want to be like, "All right, well, I know where that came from. Like, let's just down talk them." Like, you don't want to do that. We have a specific level of quality that maybe like other businesses in the area can afford over other ones where it's kind of like a starting off point. Yeah. So I think that right there is like, you don't want to have everyone's business, but you want to have like the upper echelon or like the where you feel comfortable with like that level of quality.
Yeah.
I think we're still learning because I know you got on to me not too terribly long ago. Some days you're on, right? And some days you're not. And the days you're not, just stay home, right? Because, man, you're probably not going to help yourself at all.
Right.
But we went in to pitch a client and not really pitch them. They had called us. Mm-hmm. It was a law group. And, you know, immediately you're thinking, okay, attorney, and you really do have to market them a different way, and they have a certain message they want to portray, and they've been around for years, so they have the website, they have social media. I mean, I went in that day, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I just threw up, like, all over the table, you know, told them everything we do, and I think it's because I had just come off of a conversation with someone saying, "I didn't know you did that."
Mm.
And that took over in my mind, and it was bad. Like, Lucas even called me on it. We got back to the studio, and you're like, "Wow, you really told them a lot."
Yeah, yeah, because they were only asking for, like, one or two specific things.
Right.
And it's, like, it's always cool to offer, like, a couple more things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you just...
I did everything.
You threw up over the table. Yeah.
We were there, like, two hours. Just,
yeah.
Angie would not shut up.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that's bad either, because I think that business actually did need all those things.
Right.
Whether they realized it or not, we probably overwhelmed them, is what happened.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing is kind of going back to what you were saying, Prescott, is I feel like the key when you're talking to someone about, you know, possibly working with them or approaching them or pitching, you need to focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's cool to like take a second and be like, "Hey, this is what I do. This is what I've done," but really always push the focus back on like, "Hey, what do you need? Mm-hmm. What can I do to change your business?" You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The one philosophy I've always heard of: people love talking about themselves, even humble people.
Yeah. The truth.
And so, yeah, when you're talking to somebody, like, always bring it back to their business in some way, and just like let them kind of flaunt it a little bit.
Yeah.
And that right there, like, you never want to have to be like, "All right, are you ready to do this?" You want them to be like, "All right, let's go. Like, when can you start working on this?" You want them to be the one to pull the trigger.
So let's talk about, you know, when a new business moves into an area. Obviously, we would like them to call Growing Media. But say you're a daycare, right? And you're going to take care of kids, and you've built this beautiful facility. Before you perhaps spend thousands and thousands of dollars on production and such, why don't you, as the owner, and some of your hires just hit the streets and knock on doors? And do you know anybody with young children? We're trying to get enrollees. I still think there's something to that guerrilla marketing where, you know, just you being a proponent of your business first, mm-hmm. and then finding someone who can help you depict beautifully what it is that you do. But I tell businesses all of the time that they call and, you know, "How can I be successful? And I don't have a big budget and all of these things," but you can work for yourself, number one. Number two, those people you've entrusted with your brand and your business can work for you and themselves at the same time. And I think a lot of times businesses forget that, you know, they forget that, you still have to be out there making the small talk. You still have to be out there pitching your business every single day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough thing, I think, especially for a lot of us, is we know we're all good about getting the work done most of the time, mm-hmm. right? But whenever it comes to like promoting ourselves,
oh, we're terrible.
It's so funny how even in conversations, I will sometimes not even like bring up that like I have an audio business. Right. Like I have a music studio, I have a recording studio, and I do this all the time and I do cool things with it. And I'm like, wait, why didn't I tell that person? We were literally talking about music and I never brought it up.
I find that like when I think that's a problem that is only for people who work for themselves. In a normal conversation, if you didn't, you'd be like, yeah, I do this. It's my job. It's not weird.
Yeah.
There's nothing weird about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that like feeling weird about talking to people about your business or about what you do is not something you have to worry about. It's not like something you have to overreact and be like, am I selling to them? Am I trying? Is it too much? Like, you're just talking about your life just like a normal person. Mm-hmm. This is what you do. And also, I mean, even as far as pitching and doing that kind of thing, you are bringing value to them. You have something that is of value to anybody and everybody. So it's not really something I shouldn't have to really sell necessarily, because this is something that everybody needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's something that everyone can use.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's what I can do for you. It's always, it's always going always that direction. Always
bringing it back. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's not something you really have to, and a lot of times, even like just in small talk, that's what gets you jobs.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
That's what gets you clients, because it's just that networking. You know what I mean? If enough people know that you do something, eventually someone will be like, oh yeah, I know this guy, or someone you know who you've talked to in conversation with someone else, be like, well, I don't do that, but I know this other person that does.
Sure. And I know that actually happened to me a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call from a guy who I've never talked to, never met. Mm-hmm. We have never worked on anything together. He was like, and he's out of, he's in another state. And he's like, hey, I want to record this EP. And he's like, I want to do it with you. And I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, how do you don't even know me? Like, we've never worked together.
But that's okay. People, even if you don't know Lucas, he will work for
you. Well, yeah. He'll still do some work for you. But it was just crazy. Like, he was so on board. He had already disregarded all these other studios in the other state.
Nice.
And told him, hey, I like your sound better. And I was like, what? Like, where is this coming from? And, you know, eventually I figured out it was just a friend of a friend. And, you know, made my name, you know, go. And so some of that is like, that's a spot on, you know. It's like, once you just talk about it in like a almost like a free spirit,
just
like,
a normal do. It's just you,
right?
Or a podcast. That's why we started this podcast, so we could promote our business. It's crazy. And we've had dental people in here and you know, people who run all types of businesses. But I always say as well that I don't need tires today, but the day that I need tires, there needs to be one name that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, and it's whoever happened to be the loudest or whoever had people talking about them and their great service and that type of thing. So
I think another thing about like going back to what Luca was saying, you don't like market yourself. Like, I have this thing where like first off, we all love what we do. If we didn't, we'd probably be like in an office job somewhere, just doing mundane.
Oh, I would never be in an office job somewhere. I can't. No, the cubicle life.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah, like just the
same. I can't.
But
two creams, two sugars. Every yeah.
Water cooler talk. But no, like I love like when somebody wants to talk shop about like photo or video stuff that I've done, like then they're like equally as interested. That's like why it's sometimes so easy to sell, like when you're really passionate about something. Like, we do everything. But Angie, what would you rather have somebody do? Would you rather have somebody coming in here wanting a bunch of video content because that's what we love to do? Or like, hey, can we get like some static posts and everything? Like, that's why I kind of like going back to the lawyer, like maybe just like really presenting what we're really good at. Oh, by the way, we do that as well. We can talk about that on the long run. But yeah, like we can just kind of overwhelm people with our passion very easily.
Yeah.
Video is king.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Especially now.
You need video. And you need everything else, but video to tell your story, because you don't have enough daycare employees to walk the streets. You need a recorded version of your spiel, if you will, because you need to be able to email that. Mm. You need to drop that in someone's, you know, inbox or whatever, that you're here and you're available. And that's what we can help you do. It doesn't always have to be some over dramatized whatever. It can be just a simple message. Mm. You talking directly to your audience, which I think is very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think like connecting with your target market, your audience. I mean, that's exactly what you want. You want people to engage with you. You know what I mean? The more engagement usually equals more sales almost every time.
I couldn't believe it. This week I logged on. So we're going to go down to Florida eventually, and we want to go deep sea fishing, right? So we logged on. We started looking at charters and private boats, and you know, what about this? What about that? And there was one company who had recorded all of their captains, mm-hmm. right? And I just pressed play, and this captain started talking. And first of all, he had this twang, which I loved. And he talked about the fun we were going to have and how he would, you know, take care of baiting the hook and doing all of these things. And he goes, all you got to do is come and fish. And it's the way he said fish. And I'm like, that's my guy right there. But that to me just reiterated the power of video and encapsulating that yeah. message and its relatability. Like mm-hmm. I liked the dude, you know, so right. now I want to go fishing with him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, I have a question for you, Angie.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you guys too, but I feel like Angie would have a better answer to this. How do you approach someone who is like of like high regard?
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever, so going back to the CMAs, Prescott can attest to this. Is like you have like no issue being like, oh yeah, you know, we're up for an award with this music video, and it's like these are like rising stars, or some of them are big stars already, and it's just like I don't know like what goes through your head, because I feel like for me, if I'm pitching to someone or talking to someone who's big in my industry, I get nervous and I get flustered and. Oh, yeah. Start to stumble over my words and stuff like that. So how do you do that?
Breathe. No. it's something I learned years ago, and do not be fooled. You always feel the butterflies in the stomach, or I call it the fire in the belly and the gut. And that's how you know, if you still feel that, you're growing. If you're just dead to it all, get out, you know. But when I approach it, I was told long ago that we all put our pants on the same way.
It's true.
They just happen to be at a certain point, well, or your skirt or whatever, whatever floats your boat there. But you have to remember that these people started somewhere at the bottom, like everybody else, you know, and whatever point that they're at, they still appreciate good work. You know, if you know and you present to them with confidence that you can't hurt them, you're only going to help them or help their efforts. They want you to share that. I don't know that they're going to use you, and they probably have their own production company or whatever, but I think you just have to look at it like, you know, it's a man, it's a woman,
yep.
and they're no different.
Yep. It's just another human.
I mean, their bank account's a little bit bigger, but, you know.
Maybe.
Sometimes,
And no matter how far you go, the one thing that always is like makes me like pitch, like even if I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get this, the worst thing they can say is no. And then after that, like, it might be no because they already have somebody who does that and they're happy with it, but that doesn't mean that they know someone else that might be able to use your skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's true. Yeah. No can always be a positive.
Yeah. So, and then going back to the client that I got randomly, the guy I got it from was a guy who didn't work with me. He worked with another music producer.
How about
but
that?
But he recommended me to this other guy. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
cool. I love
you
that.
Know, kind of goes back to say that like we do have a bit of competition between each other, like other businesses, but it's not like there's so much demand for what we do that they know as well as we do, like, hey, like I can't do all this, like they're asking for it, let's send them their way.
Yeah. And I don't even consider it competition anymore, because here's the thing is I think there are some clients that if we were to work like do the work that other people are doing for them, mm-hmm. we would clash and we would it would not go well, yeah. just because of, you know, personalities, how we work, how they work,
mm-hmm.
That's why some people work with a certain company just because they work so well together. Even if the quality is slightly lower, it doesn't matter. The continuity between mm-hmm. the client and the business is like so good.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. It's, I mean, I still want some of those big pitches. You know, I want that long conference room table that goes on forever and some mighty individuals down there at the end. And unfortunately, I'm going to blame myself. It's because I haven't taken those shots, you know, and there are a lot of companies just like ours who have, you know, they've walked right in there and they've gotten the business that we probably deserve.
Mm.
You know, just as much.
Yeah.
So, if you're a big corporate head or whatever, just call us. I mean, I'd love to come and talk to you, and you know, make you even more money, a lot of money. I guess that's what it's about. It's making the world go round.
All right. Absolutely. Anything else, guys?
Actually, I have one quick question for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what is like some underrated places, and I'll start first, like that you should always pitch to somebody or like at least make them aware of what you do? One of my favorite places, airports. You have a neighbor. I love middle seats because you bang your elbow on the stuff going by.
I panic in the middle seat.
And, well, like, I think it's because, like, I'm child size. I'll be with child size. But
you are.
If you have two people, you don't know where they're going. You don't know if they're going home. You don't know if they're going abroad. Just let them know. Like, hey, how you doing? Like, what do you do? Like, what are you going on vacation for? Is it for fun, business? And just
everybody meet Prescott. He is that guy. Yep. He loves to ask questions. Is, yeah. He loves to talk to you. Mm-hmm. He loves to talk to everybody in the building. We may or may not get work done that day, but that is Prescott.
I will make sure that you had a good day and you had a good last night before I talk to you about business. I think I actually always ask that to people.
I can't say that I'm the one on the plane that really starts the conversations.
I'm definitely not. I'm usually put my headphones in and podcast or something, right? But that's a really good idea.
That is a great idea.
It's it's just one of those places that you're going to have probably the most diverse like population of people.
Yeah. So for me, it's coffee shops. There have been 3 or 4 times now in coffee shops where I've like somehow connected with someone. Like it's like I was having coffee with someone else. They knew this person that walked up, and then we just started talking, and I told them about, oh, yeah, this is what I do. They're like, oh, that's super cool. Can you show me some of that stuff? So I would say it's been coffee shops for me, even in, like, sometimes, like, there's been a few times in Nashville where, you know, not even, like, in our hometown where I've ran into it to a couple people, which, of course, in Nashville, there's a billion audio people. So. Yeah.
There's an internal debate within myself here in elevators,
ooh.
And it's not to pitch my business. Christ.
So literally elevator pitch.
Who knows Jesus, you know? Have a good day. And he even works on me sometimes. He's like, say something, say something, say something. And I don't.
And then you regret it.
You know what I did? I made cards. And I started, because I wasn't bold enough to talk about something that sensitive and that, you know, I don't want to debate. I just feel my calling and my instruction is to share. So... there you go. If you don't have the confidence, make a card or something. I mean, write it on your forehead. They can read it there, right?
Yeah, that's what tattoos are for.
And you guys have enough of them, don't you?
I'm doing it wrong.
Okay, okay. Yes.
Shane.
No doubt.
What?
Final word?
Unsuspecting place where you can pitch your business.
Unsuspecting? I feel like this is something that like a lot of people actually don't do. Your friends and family, man.
Right.
People get weird about that. But that's fair. Those are, especially when you first start, and I've learned this firsthand, that is, the people who are close to you are going to be the first ones who support you.
No doubt.
So they don't be afraid to, like, too. A lot of people don't want to, you know, they don't want to ask their friends to pay them for stuff. They don't want to ask their family to
purchase anything or do business with them.
To spend money, yeah.
But that is where I've had so many different jobs and clients and that kind of thing come to me that way. It's from my friends and from my family. That's so important. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, because that's so true, because it's like your family, you don't even know like your cousin's network or something, right? It's like, well, who do they know? And I found out not long ago that my cousin's husband was a drummer for a long time. And he's like thinking about starting up a new band. And I was like, well, let me help you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good episode
on pitching to family and how to get comfortable with that.
I am not the one for that.
They accept money. Like, please put me on your Facebook cupcakes page. Tell your friends that cupcakes are great.
You don't have to give me a Christmas or birthday present. Just pay
promote
your bill.
My business. Yes.
Oh, wait.
Hey, all right. Okay, thanks for joining us. Find us online.
Yeah, we're on Facebook and Instagram at growing.media, and you can visit us at growingmediamarketing.com.
That's it.
Goodbye, everyone.
Adios. Bye.